station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, it's September 21st. From what I know, I think it's the first day of fall. Not sure, today, tomorrow, yesterday, who cares? Good morning, welcome to the show. I'm here alone again today. Well, not quite alone. I have a special guest come in just a minute. But my co-host is not here for the second day in a row. I don't know what the hell's going on. I got no text, so I'm a little worried about Brigetta. But hopefully she'll walk in here in a couple minutes and everything's fine. I have a very special guest in the studio, directly from North Hollywood, California. Welcome to the show, Rich.
Thank you, Sam.
Mr. Rich Tola, thank you for showing up, and because that's more than I can say for my co-host.
She'll be here, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, Rich, you wrote a book, and you've had a very interesting life, I would say. And so we'll cover all that. But first, I noticed you have a little foundation. Do you want to cover that first so people will know?
Sure.
Okay. It's called the Boulevard Zen Foundation.
Correct.
What is that about?
The Boulevard Zen Foundation, we teach yoga, the benefits of yoga, to women and children living in domestic violence shelters.
Mm.
So we have teachers that go into shelters weekly, monthly, different programs
right.
and, to teach the women and children.
Wow. So it's like, so you teach them to defend themselves, I guess.
Well, it's really to empower themselves mm. with the benefits of yoga. And to me, yoga equals respect.
Right.
So it's really, oh, I think your co-host is
oh,
here.
Oh, my co-host is here. Awesome. Go on. So go ahead.
So,
finish that.
So to me, yoga equals respect.
Right.
Everything about yoga is about respecting yourself and then respecting others.
Yeah.
And then we teach them the practice, but everything that's behind the practice and how they can build that into their everyday lives.
I
so
see.
We give them the tools to do it on their own,
right.
but we're there to sort of take them through and to teach them
right.
and to enable them to use that, especially the therapeutic and
right.
the calming aspects of the practice as well as the physical benefits.
Right. So is there like a lot of domestic violence going on from what you've seen?
Well, there definitely is a lot of domestic violence
yeah.
going on, and it comes in many forms.
Right.
It comes in many forms. And I believe that the women and children that we teach are actually, they're the fortunate ones. They're the ones that got away.
Yeah.
They were strong enough to get away, get out of a bad situation, versus
right.
there's a lot of folks, I mean, I know a lot of women
yeah.
in particular that are in relationships where there's abuse, but they're not leaving.
Right. So how do they find out about this? I mean, do they get referred by the authorities, by social workers? How do they find out about this?
About the shelters
about
our program?
Yeah, about your program.
Well, our program is we contact shelters and go in
I
to
see.
Teach.
Okay.
Yes, it's a free service to them. I pay the teachers personally, and the proceeds from my book and the DVDs that I have out
right.
Get donated to that cause.
I see.
So that's why I started the foundation, because that's where I can give back.
That sounds good, yeah. Well, Brigetta's totally into yoga and everything. Welcome to the show, Brigetta.
Mm.
Nice to have you.
I've had a very shitty morning. I've been on the road from my house for 45 minutes.
Really?
Hmm.
Okay.
You live about a mile away?
I don't live that far.
Right.
I can't win.
Well,
and I'm
okay,
very frustrated.
This is where yoga comes in.
And this, I know.
Take a deep breath, relax,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and just, that's
this is Rich, by the way. And yeah, and Rich, Rich wrote a book. He's got he's had a very interesting life and everything. So we started talking about his foundation, and so this is teaching yoga and self-defense to people who have gone through domestic violence.
I think that's very important.
Yeah,
it's extremely important.
So now, so you find that yoga helps them deal with these things, right?
It helps them from an internal perspective.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's
and
healing.
Especially, it's healing, and especially the kids, right?
Right.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's really fun to see the kids. Because boys and girls, they don't really differentiate between boys and girls.
Right.
So yoga to them, a lot of men, there's no question. I've taught about 15,000 students and probably 12,000 of those women.
Mm.
You know, a lot of men, they shy away from yoga for various reasons. But with boys especially, they don't, it doesn't matter. It's
yeah.
like, oh, I like this. This is physical. And they kind of get it. And they share together. So the boys and girls experience the same experience without sort of judging what it is they're doing,
right.
which a lot of men do. Like, I see that. Men go, oh, I would never do that. That's so stretchy.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I find that, like, quite often, actually.
Really?
With yoga and with spin class, that's another thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, men don't feel comfortable enough in their own skin, I feel like, in order to... And I have a lot of friends that are yogis. Which, and I'm like, wow, I actually am more attracted to that because you are more comfortable in your own skin just being like, whatever, it's yoga.
Wow.
Most men are like, whatever, it's yoga, that's a girl thing, I'm not doing that.
Oh, and so they feel it's not masculine enough?
Well, here's what I think. It's the yoga teaches you to feel.
Mm-hmm.
To feel what's going on in your body. Now, as men, we're taught to think, not feel.
It's right.
Like, oh, I see. What do you feel? A woman said, what do you feel? What are you, crazy? So with yoga, there's no question. When I first started, it was, you know, you feel, well, what are you talking about? What am I experiencing, feeling in my body? Because you go to that. And that's what it is. It's sort of an internal awareness. So with yoga, you have to look inward.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of guys, they're maybe insecure with, and they say to me, oh, I'm not flexible. So they go into a room. A, they don't know what to wear.
Mm.
B, they don't know. There's like a language of Sanskrit. They're like, you know, I don't know what that is. And C, there's all these women that are kind of flowy. And so I think guys get turned off by it.
Yeah.
Well, here's a good example, right? I was this was maybe about 3 years ago. I was driving Cahuenga, you know. Everyone knows in L.A. it's pronounced Cahuenga. I'm driving down Cahuenga, and my license plate at the time was Yoga Sky. And I get stopped by a cop. And I'm thinking, you know, Cahuenga, when you're coming over the ridge, you're flying.
Yeah, yeah.
You're coming to the Hollywood Bowl. And I'm like, oh, this guy's giving me a ticket. What the hell is going on? Pulls me over, and he says, hey, are you that yoga guy from LA Fitness at the time I was teaching?
Really?
Yeah, and he stops me.
Whoa.
I said, yeah, that's me. And I'm like thinking, I'm like giving him my
second.
License.
Did you teach him the one on Hollywood Boulevard?
I did.
I remember you.
You were there? Okay. I taught at Universal also.
Okay.
I taught all, I love it. It was really fun.
And I love yoga, but I found for me, I can't do it in LA Fitness. Because it's the people that are there, they're mostly not, it's not spiritual
not
enough for
spiritual,
me.
Not spiritual,
the energy in the room.
Well, but you've never taken my class.
I think I have, and I liked it, and I remember I liked it, and then, but there, it's just all the other people that are there.
You're right. It's not conducive for if you want to get the experience of a yoga, but the room in the back, though, you're right, people sort of go to the glass window. We used to see
and
the
they're
one
like gawking and staring, and like the men are looking at you, and you're doing all these, like, you know, the positions.
That
and I'm
is
like,
true.
Are you serious? Really?
Well, but here's one thing, Bruschetta. This is where you're supposed to not be in your head thinking
it's
about
true.
What they is. Who gives a shit what they think?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the thing about but most guys, especially when you start your practice, you sort of like, you're looking around, you're trying to, am I doing it right? And you're a little bit in your head. But the good thing about a studio practice is you're right. It's more conducive to being not worrying about, because everybody there is serious. And that's what I tell people now. It's like yoga. Yoga's, it's like a serious hobby. It's not something you just do once a month or once or twice a month. It's something that, you know, if you really embrace it and you really embrace what yoga's all about, you want to build it into your life. I do it every day.
Mm.
I do it. There's every single day. And I don't have to be in a room with 50 people.
Right.
But if you really take it seriously and bring it into your day on a daily basis, and then to advance your physical practice, it's good to take a lot of classes.
Exactly.
Of but,
totally agree. And I will say that I am more off balance right now because I haven't done a lot of yoga. I went to one class last week. I'm like, the other day.
Yeah.
So I'm so sore. But I had to go because I felt like everything's falling apart, and I'm going to go crazy, and I'm going to snap really soon, and I need to go back to yoga. Yeah. Because I feel when I go to yoga,
I'm centered. Did you see her when she walked in, that energy was like, well, that's where yoga comes in.
Yes.
I mean, that's where I go, honestly. The things that occur to me now, I just smile, take a deep breath, and say, send out love. And I mean, guys would say, oh, what are you, like, you know, most guys would think, look at this guy. But you really do. Yeah. You know, it's about posture. It's opening your heart up to the universe and saying, you know, everything's going to be okay. And that's how you got to view it. And whatever happened in the past, well, forget about the past.
Right.
You know, it's like about this moment, and try not to, I say, futurize. Let's not talk about a lot of people. Well, if this happens, then this happens. There's six steps ahead.
Yeah.
You can't be six steps ahead. Yeah. Stay in the moment. Experience the moment. When you experience the moment, you're here and now, better things are going to happen to you. That's for certain. It's happened in my life.
Mm-hmm. So how did you find out about that? How did you first get into yoga?
I'll tell you. So 7 years ago, I was in New York City, and I was living in...
New York. I'm East Coast, too, so...
Do you want to tell us your whole life story now, or should we just get into the yoga part?
Let me tell you this experience with yoga, because important.
Because I want to go through your whole life, pretty much, but...
We'll go back to when I was a Sicilian boy running around the street.
Yay, Paisan!
You got it. And my father, the barber, and that was some good stories there. Well... 7 years ago, I had been reading about yoga for about a year because my life, I drank a lot, I partied a lot, slept with a lot of women. I was this guy making money, but I just ran hard in New York City, was surrounding myself with people that did the same thing. And I always dreamed since I was a kid that filmmaking, acting, this is something I always dreamed of. And I came out here in 1985 and I didn't stay. And then I came out again in 89 and I didn't stay. And it's like I always, I wanted to do it, but I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. Now, 7 years ago, it was November. And this is also, you'll read about that in one of the chapters. And I just said, something's going to change. It has to change. And I read, just like the week before, yoga gives you courage. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Like, you know, okay, great. I thought it was the same. Some like airy fairy thing where you're in a room and it was all women. And I'm like, you know, and I wasn't going to go into a yoga room and hit on women because I figured, you know, these people are more evolved than me, so I'm not going to score with them. So I get out of a cab, Upper East Side, and normally I'll take the cab all the way home to 81st Street. Well, this time I said I got to walk. It was cold, and I'd been drinking, and so I'm walking down the street, and I see this sign, which is to me it was an epiphany, and it was like yoga. 1 week, $20. You know, I got money. And I'm like, and I'm standing there, and this little sign, like a 2-foot-high sign, and I'm like, I got to go in. And I went in, and it was I gave him the $20, and then I came back, and the first class I took was a Sunday morning class. I was all hungover, you know, and this beautiful teacher, Jenny, which you'll read about, was like, I was the only guy, just like, room full of women. I was in the back, creaking my neck to see. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Felt like a total idiot, sweating my ass off because it was a hot class.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
God.
And I was ready to throw up after. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not coming back. Yeah. So I go in the locker room and I come out and the teacher's there and she stops me and she's like, you know, I see something in you. She goes, you're not coming back though. I said, nah, how can I come back? She goes, listen, Thursday night, she goes, there's some guys in that class. She goes, because a lot of times, guys, you know, you feel more comfortable when you see like a guy who's in the room rather than all women. So she's like, come back Thursday night and I'll work with you because I understand, you know, the first hurdle is getting over almost the insecurity of what the hell you're doing.
Right. Mm.
And then I came back and then it clicked. And then I literally, and this is my personality. Like, I'm like, okay, I want to get great at this. So it was like, okay, now I'm bad. I want to get good. I was the A student growing up. So I'm like, I got to get good. But I didn't really understand that it's not about getting good. It's truly about understanding your body and what your body's, where you're able to go with it.
Right.
So then I went back and then I kind of fell in love. Well, not only did I fall in love with the teacher, which we became good friends, but no. But I went back.
He's like, we slept together a long time. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. No.
And then we became
together.
Good friends.
I'm kidding.
We're close friends. Yeah, she's the best. But she really, Jenny brought me, and then I started meeting all sorts of yoga people or you know, the yoga girls, which were like different. They were different than the people that I hung out with.
Really?
Totally.
Totally
different.
In what way? They're like more relaxed, more laid back.
I get what he means because I've lived the crazy party world, you know, for how long? And it's been this past year or so where I'm like, I'm over it. I just don't care. I'm so sick of being around all these people doing the same old thing. And here they are. Guess what? I swore to myself when I was 21, I'm not going to be the 40-year-old in a club doing the same damn thing, being a cougar. Right. And what's going on? It's like it's New York and LA or major cities. You're in this bubble and you don't realize what's going on with the rest of the world because you're all about the fame or the next best thing,
and you're trying to get somewhere.
Exactly.
And they weren't trying to get somewhere. What they were trying to do is live every moment, right?
Yeah.
And then I start hanging out, and they weren't drinkers, you know.
Yeah.
Like we would go out, and nobody would order a drink. Here I am ordering like, you know, a carafe of wine, and I'm like, wait a minute. And then all of a sudden, I'm hanging out with them.
Yeah.
And then 6 months later, I was going every day. Mm-hmm. And I became where I advanced my practice, so now all of a sudden I had confidence in the room.
Because
you'll see, that's like everything in life. The more confident you become, the more you project that out to the universe, and the better you are with people and everything.
Right.
I believe that. And then that's what happened to me. And 6 months later, the studio came to me and said, you know, you should be a teacher. You're
really?
Right.
Oh. Wow.
And then I'm like, well, what does that mean? And then that was when you read Camp Yoga. I had the best 10 weeks of my life.
I would love to read that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm excited to read it.
Yeah,
I'm
fun.
In yoga and Ayurveda classes now, studying.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who are you
studying
with?
She's very spiritual.
Masvidal.
So.
Okay.
Dancing Shiva. Yeah.
So you're loving it.
I love it.
When you're
it.
Studying, it's the best.
Yeah.
You'll read. We were in a room in my teacher training, okay? The room was enough for like 12 people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was like 11 students and three or four teachers. So it was like mat to mat. I was the only guy. So you'll read about my Victoria. Victoria has most amazing practice. Beautiful, the you know epitome of a yogi and or yogini. And so she was right next to me. I'll never forget. It was the very first. Okay, so now I'm in teacher training. I got to tell you this story. Mm-hmm. So I'm in teacher training. It's the first day and I get there early and I go in the corner, right? I'm in like the corner trying to hide, and then she's right next to me, and we're literally mad to mad. So Michael, who was our first teacher, says, okay, well, everybody pair up. Well, I was right next door, so he paired up. And he's like, so, you know, everything in yoga really revolves around the sacrum, you know, those fused vertebrae at the base of your spine form a triangle. And he's like, okay, so, you know, one person lay on their stomach and then, you know, kind of pull down your pants a bit so you could, the other person can feel around the sacrum. Now, I'm the only guy, right? So he looks at Victoria and says, is that okay? She's like, yeah, you know, she's like, whatever. It's
right.
You. So here, you know, pulls down and she's got that, you know, heart-shaped butt. And I'm like, cool. This is like, here I get. So anyway, I love yoga.
Yeah, there you
I want to be a teacher.
The right place.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it was awesome. But it was 10 weeks. It was, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, camp. It was the greatest experience I had. And then you learn everything about the history of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the yogis originally, it was really to ascend. You know, they wanted to ascend to the heavens. I mean, and women weren't allowed to practice yoga. It really wasn't until it came to the States.
Like, really?
I think the 30s, 40s, that it became all of a sudden sort of women embraced it because they saw the benefits. But they also, there was more meditation and stretching then. Now it's morphed. In 5 years, I've seen it change.
Oh, it's changed a lot.
It's changed
a
lot. And now the classes are, you know, there's a lot of the power and the, well, you know, that's a whole nother thing. I don't want to get into
that
philosophy.
I like the gong yoga. Have you been to Shakti Fest or Bhakti
I've not
Fest?
Been to Bhakti Fest.
Oh,
no, but I know.
God.
Yeah.
You should teach there. Because we had them on our show. We had Sridhar on our show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
you know, for me, like, I think what happened was when I came here, I was teaching in a studio in New York.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I started. And then when I came here, and you'll read about this, is I couldn't get hired. I mean, I believe I'm a great yoga teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to all the studios. And, you know, it's like, you know, this is the yoga mecca of the world, so to speak, right? So there's that many teachers and all these great teachers.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you sort of have to come through it at my school. If you come through the teacher training, they only hire two teachers out of my program.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough to get hired, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now there's so many yoga teachers.
Yeah.
And at some of the gyms, you could be 8 hours and teach yoga.
Are you serious?
Well, I mean, I don't... It does seem like it. It's a 200-hour...
I
was a 200-hour train. But then when I came here, I ended up starting at LA Fitness, and what happened is I morphed into a teacher that was more conducive to the student, because those students were, you know, it was a 55-minute class. They didn't want to do the, you know, they didn't want to slow it down. Yeah. So I kind of morphed into sort of like a hybrid. So I'm like a hybrid between, you know, the ultimate yogi and Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, put me in the middle. No, but I mean, I count down my chaturangas. Right. Like, I do it a little differently so I could appeal. And now I was going 60, 40, you know, women, men. Mm. So, and there, when I was in New York, there were two guys in my class of 30. Versus, and then I got here, and then the gyms, and then they're like, okay, and they see this like muscle guy up at the front, like, oh, you know, I need, and I'm not gay, so they're like, oh, shit, I'm gonna go take this class.
No, it's totally true. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's like, what can I say?
I'm not gay, so, and I then can I, do it.
Yeah. Anyway.
I've seen it. Like, I know how guys are.
Yeah, you've seen
like,
it.
Oh well, okay, I'm gonna go in here and check this out. Oh yeah, there's more guys in there. Okay. Like I've had my guy friends do that. Mm. Well, there's no dudes in there. I'm not going in. It's not, you know.
Right. And here's another thing. Forget about hitting on the teacher. It's like, you know, the teacher's like, you're not. Hit on, and then the teacher like has their groupies after, and
yeah.
But I mean, you know how
I always leave because I'm like, I am not being a groupie. Even if I have a question, I'm just not gonna ask.
Yeah.
Because it's LA Fitness or it's wherever, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I've taught everywhere.
Yeah.
Rooftops. I've taught the park. You name it.
Yeah.
I've taught office buildings. I've taught in kitchens of offices. I've taught any. It didn't matter, you know, because to me, I love teaching.
Yeah.
When I teach, I don't see I see bodies. Like I don't really see the people, and I'm very, very particular when it comes to body mechanics because to me, like for instance, a Warrior II, if you're in the pose properly, you're going to get more out of the pose.
Right.
No question. It's like no matter what you do, if you do it properly, you'll benefit more from it than
if
you're,
you do it.
Yeah,
right.
And a lot of teachers, in my experience, they sort of, you know, they're teaching, but they're not communicating what the body should be doing. They're like, okay, Warrior II. Well, what does that mean exactly? Like, what does this leg do? Where's the energy? And we're talking about how, and that's from all the weight, you know, I've lifted weights for 33 years. I've never missed a day. So, and then layering yoga on top of that just changed my whole, and I am in the gym for you guys out there. I am 30 to 40%. I could do my curls, I curl 110. I'm 150 pounds. Okay. I can curl 110 pound straight bar without warming up.
Wow.
And that's because the way I position myself, it's sort of based on yoga because everything is,
centered.
You think of the spine, right? And you draw a straight line through the crown, right through your sacrum. And if you're doing that and you're not swinging, most guys to get that weight, they're swinging, they're jerking, they're all sorts of moving around, then they get hurt.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, to be my age and to do what I'm doing, it's like building that body mechanics of yoga and how everything is about balancing. It's like building a building, right? If it's, you can't build it on three sticks. There's like a foundation. So if your foundation in yoga, we say light heart, heavy feet. So if your feet are firmly planted and the foundation is there, you could do anything. You really can. And that's where you start from there.
Sounds good. Well, yeah. I think we've talked enough about yoga.
we always have
yoga places. Yeah, I got more than I asked for.
I've tried over and over to get him. I mean, I've had a lot of healers. I'm into healing as well. I've had a lot of healers in here. And
shamans and all that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every possible thing you can think of.
Yeah,
Ayurveda.
There's certain psychics that are very good.
Jeannie McDonald. I got to do a shout out to Jeannie. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Love Jeannie. She's in Long Beach. Anybody want to? Yeah, she's sweet.
That's great. Yeah, and there's some really, I mean, I bring in good people. I do.
Definitely, definitely.
So
now that you came in and let go of
that
negative energy.
Now that I'm okay,
from those crazies outside.
Yeah. I had a lot that happened in the 24
hours.
Okay,
it had to be a guy involved too.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Guy,
I'll fix all
douche.
That. I will fix all that. I'm good at that. I've heard it all and I've seen it all.
All right, Rich. So you wrote a book called Simply Between Millions, From Wall Street to Hollywood. And this sounds like an interesting story. I started reading the book, but I didn't want to get too far because I want to hear it from you.
Sure.
So are you originally from New York? You said you were living in New York.
I grew up in Trenton, New Jersey as a kid.
Oh, okay.
My father was an old school Sicilian barber running around the streets of North Trenton.
Nice.
I used to cut the mob guy's hair. You don't read about that.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't. Like, it was a barter system. When I was 3 or 4 years old, my brother and I would run around. First of all, there was no child abductors and nothing like that.
Yeah.
Plus in my community in Sicilian.
Yeah. It's Sicilian and Jewish neighborhood.
Yeah.
Actually.
Oh, yeah.
You don't kidnap kids. Huh?
That's East Coast. Do that there.
No. So we didn't even use cash. I loved it. It was barter. And my father would cut everybody's hair. And it was like this barter system. My brother and I would run around, go in the store, grab candy. Oh, Richie the barber.
Yeah.
So that was it was like a great place to go. And, you know, my father kind of taught me a school of hard knocks, so to speak. And, mm-hmm. and even now, like to this day, no matter where I go, no matter what city, I'm able to find the person to get it done. Because my father knew everybody.
Really?
It didn't matter. He knew everybody, you name it, from the bookie to, you know, the seamstress. You know, anything you needed to get done, we could get it done.
And that's true, because he's the barber. Everybody goes
everybody,
there.
Everybody, and you know, and then you sit around, and all the Goombas,
my
and
dad's
everybody's
the same
talking.
Right.
Yeah, and like his shop was like a bar. You know, there would be
that's
like 20 people
true.
Inside.
Yeah.
All the old guys would sit outside in their fold-up chairs. Yeah.
You know, have you seen Barbershop?
Yeah, imagine with all the Italian guys. You
exactly.
know? And it was, it was interesting. it was good.
So did you have a good childhood all in all? I mean, did you
did have a good childhood. No, I had a good childhood. I got into fitness at a young age. I had these two aunts, Sicilian aunts, didn't speak English. Mm. They used to watch Jack LaLanne. I'll never forget sitting there, and they'd be laughing, giggling. And, and my father got us into – I was doing push-ups and sit-ups when I was 4 or 5 years old.
Mm. Wow.
Tons. We used to – you know, so he always said we weren't going to be that big. So he's like, I'm going to make you real strong and tough. So – and that's what he did. You know, he's kind of an old-school guy. You know, old-school Italians. You know, they have their way, but what can you do?
They
that's
do.
Cool,
there's no
yeah.
question.
They
make you tough. Yeah. And there's another, it's another thing. Let me digress a little bit. I watched an interview with Charlie Rose and Frank Langella did an interview. And Frank says, you know, he grew up in New Jersey. He said, New Jersey's an emotional prison. I'll never forget those two words. Well, because, you know, when you grow up, it's like it was all about being, you know, tough. Doing what you like, you know, guys, I'll crawl through glass to get to the other side because the pain, there's no pain. It's like, you forget about pain and emotion.
Otherwise, you're a pussy.
Yeah.
Right.
You
I've
are.
It all.
Oh, forget
I don't cry.
You can't be
you don't
a pussy.
Cry. And I'm a girl. Yeah. Don't cry. Why? Stop crying.
Right. Yeah. Right. Don't show any emotion.
Exactly. But I grew up that way.
Yeah.
And then realize later on, that's not normal.
And, you know, interestingly, that what's the world that I grew up in, especially in my neighborhood, not in my family per se. Yeah, there was sort of, I use the words emotional neglect because my father was like the typical Italian. You know, it was about, you know, he definitely supported me in so many ways to be great and work hard and do all that. But emotions, it wasn't about the emotions, right? As you know.
Oh, yeah.
But in my community, I witnessed domestic violence to like the extreme.
Wow.
I mean, I'll give you an example one time. This is a true story. There was a girl that lived on my block. It was like a nice little housing community. And her parents, let's just say, they were probably the roughest on her. And there were times where it'd be pouring rain on a Saturday morning. And they used to beat this girl. It'd be pouring rain, 8 o'clock in the morning. And she's like, you know, they beat her, and then they kick her out and keep her out. She couldn't come.
In the rain.
She'd knock on her door and say, you know, could Richard come out and play? And I'm like, my mom's like, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. It's pouring rain. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, and I remember they'd lock her in the basement. Shit like that happened.
Oh my God.
I mean, I saw bad shit. So it's like, I think years later, here's another. This doesn't show up in the book. This was back maybe 20 years, maybe 15 years when Pink, you know, the singer Pink, Alicia Moore. I remember I wrote her a letter. My buddy had a club in Philadelphia, and I didn't really know that it was that it affected me as much. But I tried to get her to do an acoustic. This is when she just hit to do like an acoustic concert, and the proceeds going to this domestic violence shelter in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
This is way before the foundation, all that. So it was, and I'll never forget, I went to New York. She was playing at the Beacon Theater.
Mm.
And I put together this little folder, and I snuck in the back when they were loading up the equipment. Yeah, I'd love to meet her one day. But, you know, I snuck in the back, and I'm like, you know, hey, can you get this to paint? You know, I'd be love to. And she had just, you know, she was just sort of hitting it. So it never hurt anything. But I did try, and I went back twice. Like, I went back
aww.
Again and said, listen, because she was from Philly.
Yeah.
In I think, like, a Germantown, maybe, if I recall correctly. In any event. Never did. But, I mean, this was going back into the early 90s, I believe.
Right.
I tried. But, and then here I am. Lo and behold, years later, and it came out of this film that I made called Boulevard Zen.
Oh,
and in the film, that's how the foundation was started. I made this film, Boulevard Zen, and the main character was Bobby D'Angelo, sort of this badass attorney from Atlantic City.
Okay.
And his wife was a yoga teacher who was killed in a drive-by shooting. So what I did is I wrote a screenplay called Yoga Burn. Mm. And then I took a day in the life of the character. It was a 2-year span in this original screenplay. It was my first screenplay that I wrote. And then I took a day in the life, and then I called it Boulevard Zen. It's a whole nother how I got to that name. And then, so Bobby was, and he was badly abused as a child, and I used my grandfather because my father was badly abused as a child physically. Mm. You know, broken jaw, broken. By the time he was 12, the nuns kept him in the for like weeks at a time. Yeah. His father was a bad guy who I only met once in my life. So, you know, the community and what I sort of witnessed and experienced, and I truly believe that domestic violence, it sort of like genetically mutates itself down through, like, you know, you'll see the folks in the world of domestic violence say it gets passed down and it's dynamic. Well, to me, it sort of gets mutated in different forms. Mm. And it doesn't mean, like, my father never beat us, but, you know, in terms of the world that I come from, I witnessed it. I mean, you know, the belt was a common thing.
I got the belt too, and I got to pick out the paddle.
Yeah, you know, everybody got that. But,
or the shoe, and then I would laugh. So then that didn't happen anymore.
Yeah, but in any event, so now years later, and then that's where the foundation was derived. So the day after the film, when I taught the day for the film, I asked my students, because it was like a yoga-inspired film, to bring clothes, and I was going to donate to a shelter. Mm. So then that Monday, when I went to the shelter, we filmed all over the weekend, and then that Monday, when I went to drop the clothes off, I was never, of all these years, I was never physically inside a shelter. I didn't know what, I just, from the outside, they never let me in. Then they let me in, and I was like, wow, it was almost like this retreat. And I said, well, this would be an amazing place to teach yoga. She's like, oh, we don't have any money for that. And then the wheels start turning, and I went, oh, my God, I got the great, you know, I thought, who better to train the teachers and to help these kids? Because I saw all these kids. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe, like, you know, 30 kids. And I'm like, holy shit, all these kids. Because I didn't know. I thought a shelter was like 5-6 people. And I realized it's like, wow, there's a lot of these kids who have no, there's no men in their life that showed them respect. And there's nobody to admire or look up to or teach them. Yeah, and so that's where it sort of kind of just kept going, and now, now my vision for it is, you know, I really truly want to. I mean, I don't have the money to do it yet. That's where we're simply between millions, but I truly want to build like the new age Ronald McDonald House. Like, imagine a place where you could go, where you can work out. There's an educational room. Maybe we can get Facebook or Apple, you know, where you can learn. Because, you know, when I go to a place, I got to go to the library to use a computer. And then you got to wait. And it takes, it's like interesting, you know. Right. So a place where people who don't have the resources. So there's like a physical fitness area. There's a yoga room. There's education. I mean, if I could put all that into one in like a freestanding, you know, McDonald's type of structure. Guess what? I think everybody wins in the community because those are going to give back, and it's all about respect. Because everything I look at now is, if you respect yourself, the first thing I do when I wake up is I work out. I work out before I eat. I won't eat before I work out. It's like, I got to work out because that's the most important thing in my life, because that sets me right for the day, clears my mind. I do my yoga. I put my hour in, and then I go eat. And it's like, okay, now I'm ready for the day, because no matter what you're going to do. So when people say, oh, I don't have time and this, that's all bullshit to me.
Right.
It's like, come on, that's bullshit. Get up 20 minutes early.
Time. Yeah.
I was doing it, and I totally agree with you. I felt so much better. And then it's been a little bit since I've been working out in the morning.
Well, but you look pretty good over there. I mean, you do something to stay in shape, right?
Yeah.
She still works out.
Good genes.
There you go. That helps, too.
You don't drink too much?
Not to eat.
I really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not really. Do you hear that, Sam? Yeah.
You know what?
She
NFL
can tell
just
you
started.
That. But
NFL just started, so if it's the Ravens are playing, and I'm a diehard Ravens fan.
You got to be drinking.
Is that Flacco?
Yes.
Well, Steve Flacco was my center. His father?
Yeah.
Was my center fielder at Penn.
Oh, no way.
I played right, and Steve, awesome. Yeah,
oh,
he played center. Oh, yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I played with him my freshman and sophomore year.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Steve
That's
was
really...
awesome. Yeah, now, like, I can't. Yeah. How old am I?
Oh, God.
Right? Can you believe it?
Wow.
No, but yeah, the drinking thing, it's empty calories, though, obviously.
No, and I agree with that.
And if you're not working out and you're drinking, forget about
it.
Double whammy.
I don't eat gluten. I don't eat meat. I'm very, like, particular with what goes in my body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Definitely.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. A picture of health right there.
Hmm?
A picture of health.
A picture of health.
Well, she's pretty hot, too, so.
Well, thank you.
A hot picture of health.
It helps to be healthy.
I don't know about this morning. I used to I was kind of like, rawr, rawr, rawr.
That's what makes you more hot. I like that. You can't be too perfect. You know, all dolled up, as I say.
Yeah.
Less attractive.
So after your childhood and everything, you ended up in Wall Street somehow. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, when I was, let's go back, to get to Wall Street, it's sort of like you have to be at the top of your class and everything, right? Because Wall Street wants the best. And that's, I guess, again, you know, my mother and my father always encouraged me to study. You know, I graduated number two in my high school class out of about 750.
Really?
Because I studied all the time. Yeah, because my father was like, when I was 16, my father says, you're going to go to Penn. Well, 16, when I was younger, he said, you're going to Penn. And I didn't even know what Penn. Yeah, when I was 14, he puts me on the Trenton, the local to Philadelphia at 14. He's like, okay, I'm going to put you on the train. You're going to go to Penn, get out, it's a mile away, walk to the University of Penn, that's where you're going to go, and get back on the 3:30 train, and I did. So my whole life I was going to Penn, and then, right, here's a good story, is when I was 16, my guidance counselor, I was going to apply to Penn, just don't, but you're not going to get in, nobody gets in, we're like this public school. Don't apply to Penn, you won't get in. I'm like, you kidding me? Well, wow. I did apply, I did get in, and then when I got accepted, I walked, marched right in a room, and I said, don't ever fucking tell anybody, they can't do,
good.
You know,
that's
and
true.
I
good
just,
for you.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always believe, no matter what you do, if you set your sights for it,
you
can do it.
Yeah.
Just don't ever not believe, no matter what anybody says. And so, and that's the same, but at Penn, it was the follow the herd mentality. Everybody was super smart.
Yeah.
Everybody was, Wall Street was the 80s, you know, it was 85, so Wall Street, so I went to, but I never, it was never in my heart though. Mm-hmm. I never, but then when you graduate with $50,000 in debt, so I went to Wall Street the first time.
So did you go for an MBA as well?
Or? Right, I did the 2-year program. I worked at Goldman Sachs, and then they were like, you know, it's go get the master's, and then I went to Kellogg. I applied and got into another great school because it's like, if you're working hard and get the good background, et cetera, it's obviously you can go that path. So I was fortunate. And then I sort of got sucked back into Wall Street the second time for
it's
the money.
Good money.
I kind of went back for the money.
Money.
Yeah. I mean, when you're making $20,000 a month and everybody else is...
Yep.
And you're spending $20,000 a month. I mean, that's the one, no question. What you make is, well, if you're making $10 million a year, maybe you're not spending that. But
usually you end up spending all that you have.
I spent everything.
Yeah.
I was making investments.
Not you. I mean, in general, people.
Yeah, you do. And then what you do is you start making. I was like $75,000 over here. I bought a racehorse over there. And, you know,
you
next thing you know, you're you know, Barney's. I drop a couple thousand. Yeah. Then you go to the strip clubs.
Oh,
forget about
then
that.
Then you got to get tables. And
then you got
your
bottles. And then everybody. So, so it's like then you sort of like. And then they call it the golden handcuffs. Like, what are you going to do? Where am I going to go to make $250,000 out of school, where everybody else is making 80. Yeah, so you do it, and then, but it was always inside of me. I knew
it wasn't for
enough.
You, huh?
No, it wasn't.
There's like something missing.
No, and the guys that are great at it, there's no question. You'll read some of the guys, Richard Handler. You know, some of the smartest guys I've met, Scott Jenkins. There's some people that I've really admired that it was them. You know, there was no question. I mean, that was, to me, it's about finding your passion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And find like the element of the foundation that I love is I love to teach. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just in the yoga, and I love teaching yoga. I love to teach it, and you know, if you could find your passion, and that's really what I'm all about. No matter what it is, if your passion is flowers, I say this: if your passion is flowers, and you're working for a bank as a teller, well,
what
go
you
what? What you do is you go volunteer at a florist on Saturday morning from 10 to 12. Just volunteer. I understand everybody needs money. Of course we need money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could spend 2 hours and learn, because you're getting an education. It's not just I'm giving away my time for free. What you're doing is you're determining, well, here's my passion, but what derivation of flowers is my passion? Is it owning my own florist shop, or is it designing the floral arrangements for weddings? I mean, it could be, it depends. So you don't really know until you gather that information. And information builds confidence, builds power. And that's what people should do, no matter what it is. If you're into cars, then go volunteer. Again, a lot of times you're not going to get a quick job doing it, but so what? Start small, small steps, because if you're passionate, it comes through, no doubt. When I'm passionate about yoga, if you've taken my class, anyone's taken my class knows. This guy knows his shit, and he loves what he's doing.
Right.
And that's what you want, because those people succeed. I believe that.
Right.
You succeed. You know, I love to write. Like everything, I love to create, and then I just keep creating. I did.
Good for you. Yeah, so Wall Street wasn't appropriate for what you.
No, yeah. I just kept getting sucked back into it.
Yeah,
or, you know,
you
I just
in.
Kept sucked back in.
It's hard to get away from all that money.
It really is. It's, it's, you know, you get spoiled, and then all of a sudden, and what happens is your mindset changes. Then you need the money because now I need the $2,000-$3,000 a month apartment.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget this Eric Fryser. I'll give a shout out to Fries. He was my resident advisor at Penn my freshman year in 1981. He ended up being the still photographer for my movie, the film. So years later, but I'll never forget, I would call him. I had this concept called San Gennaro, the Feast of San Gennaro.
I know, familiar?
Yeah, he used to party there, and I... So this was back in the 90s. I came up with this. This is my first concept for a film. So I came up with this concept of this guy that was at Columbia University, and his kind of family was in real estate, and basically it was a story. It was like a thriller, you know, the mob, and it was called San Gennaro because it took place the 11 or 12 days of the feast, right? So it was, so I labeled it that, but I wasn't ready to write, and I'll never forget I called Fries, and I, he's like, listen, he goes, in this business, he said, it's the kind of business where you got to be willing to eat shit and to go way back the other way and take some crappy job and live with people. He goes, because you don't just like walk onto the scene and, you know, you got to pay your dues.
Right.
He goes, so, you could write, but he goes, you got to read straight. You know, you don't just sort of do it. He goes, you got to start. And then he goes, I don't know. Are you ready for that? Now, this is when I was making, you know, money. And I'm like, no, I can't. I mean, what are you talking about? I'm not going to go take some crappy job.
Right.
Or what does that mean? At least, see, I judged it. Right. I judged it. Now it's like, hey, I'll do whatever I have to do to continue with my dreams. So, but until you're there, it's the same thing with someone with their passion. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I can't do it. I'm stuck in this job. You know, I was interviewed recently by a writer who works for a financial firm. And we had the interview, and then I had to call her back. And then she gave me the number, and I said, well, what's the name of the company in case, you know, whatever the number, you know, I'm always like particular. And it was a financial firm. So I said, oh, I said, your passion is writing, but you got to pay the bills. And she goes, yeah, you're right. I said, but don't stop writing.
Right.
You know, even if, and she goes, no, at night. So I said, that's what you do. You find the time. You got to find the time to pursue that which drives you and drives your passion and follow your dreams. And guess what? If you stick with it, I mean, look at Ray Kroc. Ray Kroc at 52 started McDonald's. He was sleeping on the floor to learn the business. He slept on the floor in the back of. So it doesn't really matter. So until you're willing to go few steps back to go forward, guess what? If you're not willing to make that sacrifice, and don't judge it. Because the minute you judge it, then you give a shit about what other people think.
Well, right.
Exactly.
That's bullshit. Because guess what? It's your life, and it's all temporary. We're not here very long. The whole spiritual side of me, you know, I believe that may carry on. But the physical side, forget it.
It's
we get 80 years or so.
I believe, well, you know, I also believe you keep coming back and so you learn your life lessons. I don't want to learn the same lessons over again. I'm done with it. I move on to the next level, you know?
Well, apparently you haven't learned the lessons, because I think once you do,
I always learn the hard way.
It
now,
moves on to
I?
The next lesson, right?
Yes, it does. And it's a slap in the face everywhere.
So now, so you sort of like decided this is not for me. I want to write. I want to create all this.
Well,
and you decided to move to L.A.?
Well, that was where yoga, so we'll jump forward to yoga. So what happened was when I started taking yoga, right, and then 6 months into it,
the more happened.
Well, this is what happened,
sorry.
Right? I wake up, it was New Year's Day, you know, and I resolve. Like when I resolve to do something, I resolve to stop drinking. It'll be 5 years on December 2nd.
Congratulations.
Man, I drank a lot. You know, I tell people, it's funny, I meet people now. When I was in New York recently, I met up with a guy I used to party with, and you know, in the first 30 minutes, he had three beers, and I had half of a non-alcoholic beer, right? And he's saying to me, you know, I never knew you had a problem. I'm like, you know, dude, what does it mean to have a problem? I said, so let's look at you, for instance. I said, you just had three beers, and you're going to leave here and drink a couple shots and a few more beers before you get home, and you drink every day, but you don't have a problem, right? Mm-hmm. I said, listen, I don't know what it means to have a problem, but what I do know is those that don't do it every day don't have a problem. Mm. So just kind of look at that. If you're not doing it every day, chances right. are you don't have a problem. Now, if you are doing it every day, well, what do I know? You right. know, as I say, yeah. what do I know? I'm not judging you. Mm-hmm. I said, but don't judge me because I don't drink. Yeah, I used to, but I don't. So don't judge yeah. me. What do you give a shit?
No,
what
that's
I do?
Dumb, man. Right. That's dumb.
Yeah.
But so what happened with yoga is yoga basically, and then that's when I resolved. It was January 1st, and I was still drinking at the time, and I remember it was, you know, it was still where I would go to the hot class, and so I said to myself, I said, well, this day actually I was sober. It was New Year's Day, and I was like, you know, because I had started evolving with the yoga world, and I said, if the real estate, I was doing real estate development at the time, and I felt the tide was turning, right? And I said, if this collapses, cause I've been in a lot of businesses. Mm. I mean, the book, I believe, is so interesting because, and this is what one reader said, anyone looking to change careers, this is a must read. Because I've tried, you know, when you read that book, I've probably been in 12 or 15 different careers.
Really?
From consulting.
What sign are you?
A couple years, I'm an Aries with an Aries rising. So I'm a double, triple Aries probably. So, yeah, right, you know that.
Oh, yes, I
do. So, and that's when I resolved. I said, if the real estate market craps out, and I was, you know, I had $5 million we were playing with, we were developing properties, I had several on my plate, it was crazy busy, had this small development firm. I said, if this ever collapses, that's when I'm going to take, you know, I'm going to become an actor and I'm going to pursue right. it. And then I took my very first acting class that Valentine's Day. I had the balls to do it. I uh-huh. didn't have the courage, and then yoga gave me the courage.
It does give
And I courage, did. Yeah. And then within 6 months, you'll read, Susan Batson said to me, you know, you got to go to L.A. She goes, it's going to be really hard, but yeah, I see you. And at the time, this was 6 years back, it was, you know, New York was really strong with theater, but a lot of the film and TV was here. So right. she's like, you know, not to say theater wasn't new, but I wasn't classically trained. And so she's like, you know, I think you got to give it a shot. And then I did. And then when the markets crashed, they did, on September 1st of 2006, We folded our company. I returned back investor money and said, hey, it's going to get a lot worse, which it did. Mm-hmm. So I had the foresight, finally. Mm-hmm. And I became a full-time actor, yoga teacher, and it was just past 6 years.
Wow.
And then I came here 6 months later, February 2nd of 2007, and I haven't stopped creating since. Now, as you know, in this town, it's extremely difficult to get anybody to meet with you or talk to you, but I'm still at it.
Yeah, that's good, and you're determined and you're persistent and stuff. And
I believe in
and
myself.
That's what it takes. Yeah. So so the book is called Simply Between Millions, From Wall Street to Hollywood. Rich Tola, of course. Your website is richtola.com, T-O-L-A, right. And people can find out, I guess, everything about the film, about the foundation, about the book.
Correct.
So
and Amazon,
you're very
I self-publish, so just please note that you can buy the book on Amazon, Amazon.com, and if you do go to Amazon, you know, there's some resellers there, so please try to click on mine so that 10% of the proceeds go to the foundation.
Sounds good.
What's interesting when you self-publish.
Yeah.
It's
kind of,
I learned that too. That's a whole other business I learned, the business of publishing.
Yeah.
And that's its own.
Yeah.
But or on my site, there's a limit. I'm signing copies, so if you want a signed copy, still doing that.
Where's my signed copy?
I brought one for you.
Yes.
Oh.
I brought one for her too.
Cool.
Because I figured there'd be. Awesome. Yeah, I thought you had one, so I brought you one.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. All right. He's making a pass at you, in case you didn't notice.
No.
Are you in a relationship?
I was a
player.
No, I'm not in a relationship.
No relationship.
No,
you, huh?
No, you'll read about
always
that.
Always be available and open to opportunity.
Well, I'm looking for, I'm kind of at the point where I'm not looking to really just date to date any longer.
Right.
I'm really
yep.
looking for the real thing.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
You'll read
and
about that.
And we all know how hard that is in the bubble. Of
so
that.
Tell me, let's. I'm going to play the therapist here.
Well, we don't have time, though.
Oh, we don't?
No, we're out of time.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. We're out of time. I really wanted to solve your problems.
Oh.
Well, because here, wait, I just have to give you what my favorite four-letter word, next. So if he's giving you some shit, get rid of him.
I know.
Kick him to the curb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she says, okay, but she goes back to it. So. All right, Rich, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the book. Everybody go out, get the book, go to the website. You're very interesting. You're welcome back anytime. I'm sure there's a lot more we can talk about.
Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Okay, everybody, have a great weekend. Brigetta, have a relaxing one. You need to relax a little bit.
Oy vey.
And we'll see you all on Monday.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.